weed
also,
heavy
this is
all
like
day.
a non. This is like a. Like
group. No, not really.
No,
like,
they were smokers. He used to smoke heavy. I used to smoke heavy. One up used to smoke heavy.
Yeah. He was more like crack.
You said you were
crack. I don't see the dot.
Yeah,
we shot. I bet. One up. Spin the fucking track, bro. What's good, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of the Goodfellas Podcast, episode 182.
You've been on a roll of getting episode numbers right.
Nah, I still got to pay attention.
Hey, yo.
Even if I'm not here.
Well, check this guy out.
You was here and not paying attention to the episode numbers.
That's all it takes. You just got to leave.
Yeah. But yes, this is Jigga.
Ron.
Below,
and I'm the DJ. That's me. Well, we got a special guest in the building. I'm saying, doing it up for Women's Month. We got Chef Maz.
Yes, 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 yes.
Entrepreneur, cannabis connoisseur,
gangster,
overall gangster, thug. Thanks for kicking it with us.
Yes, thank you for having
that.
Me.
You feel me?
I'm excited. I was looking forward to today.
Excited to have you here.
Yeah. You had your clothes on the bed like you was getting ready for the first.
Nah, she got her. She had her merch on. She got her merch on.
Yeah, you know I had to.
Owner,
yeah, where I was at?
Damn,
put her on the spot right over it.
You gotta come by.
Damn, you got me back. You got me back. All right, I'm gonna shut up. But it's a pleasure. What's up?
What's going on?
We're here to talk and celebrate you. It's Women's Month, and you are a woman doing it.
Yeah.
So how this work, y'all act? We gonna y'all?
How we gonna do it?
Yeah.
I think I'm just gonna ask you some questions.
First of all, who are you?
Who am I?
Who are you?
Okay. So.
Or how would you describe yourself? Who, like, if somebody was like, "Hey, what do you do?" What would you say to them?
Okay. So. I'm first and foremost, I'm a chef. I started out long time ago. I started Brown Box in 2015. That evolved into me getting into the weed game, but in a non-traditional way. I started doing like cannabis dinner parties. So I realized like making my own edibles and things. I'm like, oh, like you can, you know, apply the same thing to, you know, regular food. So I started, you know, I introduced Nork to this whole concept of cannabis dinner parties, and I kind of stayed in that lane, selling my edibles, things like that. Fast forward 2019, I opened up a CBD store in Maplewood. So we were there for a second, and then I got poached over to Orange, where I've been ever since. So for the past 5 years, we had a storefront in Orange. We have over 3,000 square feet where we do everything under the sun, and we apply that to cannabis. So we run retail downstairs and upstairs. We have a membership concept where you can come, you can light up, you can chill.
The shit fire.
You know,
the shit
and
is
we
fire.
Rent it out for
no
events
pun
too.
The shit is
but,
fire.
Yep,
no pun intended. The shit is fire.
Thank you.
The shit is fire.
So, you know, I'm still in hospitality as well, doing my events. I'm still a chef. I manufacture a lot of the products. We're trying to get into the dispensary game.
Mm-hmm. You do everything. Everything is done in-house?
For the most part.
That's tough.
We do obviously have third-party products, but what differentiated us in the CBD world was most of my most popular products, like my honey, my tinctures, all those are made by me.
Those gangsters.
So
wow.
I'm doing a couple different, you know, I'm like multi-hyphenate. But the idea is to just introduce people to parts of weed that, you know, they may not have been introduced to before.
Miles, I'll say this, like with the, like with Brown Box, I'm just gonna talk about the event space. Like I came across it. Well, I actually formally met you during Papes brunch.
Right.
Me, One Up, and Ant was talking to her about it. We like, yo, like we want to get you on the pod. I first got introduced to you through Wave, RIP the bro.
Yes.
So I seen like the whole concept of like how you have upstairs like a weed cafe.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I'm like, that's mad tough. Like, I mean, I don't smoke anymore, but like to people that love weed, it's like, okay, I could come here, enjoy, smoke. You got games, whatever the case you want to be, type shit. So.
And you'd be surprised, like a lot of cannabis people, like when they come during the day and work, like, you know, they still like getting work done. So it's not, I think that there's this concept, like we're just in there smoking all day and like having fun. But, you know, people are really like there to decompress and mm-hmm. relax. And not everybody that does weed smokes. Mm-hmm. So it's an atmosphere where, you know, whether you're getting your edibles or your product, you have a safe space to consume it, because there's also, even though it's legal, there's still a lot of red tape around how we can consume it, where we can consume it. A lot of the buildings, like luxury buildings, have laws around, you know, smoking in your apartment, things like that. And some people just trying to get away. They're just trying to do something a little different. You know, they're tired of smoking in their car. And,
yeah.
You know, so we're just like really, you know, just trying to provide that.
L. Ron's, you know, a five, though.
Be that liaison.
Yeah. L. Ron's. All right.
So from like, what inspired you from going, okay, I'm a chef, to, all right, let me do the infused thing, and then to go to the storefront. Like,
I mean, I
it
think
feels like, well, I mean, I'm like, I feel like there's like a story there. I don't know if there is or not, but like, how did you go all the way?
Okay, so it started off really just, so being a chef, working, like I used to work at Atmosphere on I Avenue. Like I used to work at all different types of places. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like working 12, 14 hours, you know what I mean? Like it's very strenuous. And I don't really consume anything else, so I started using weed to self-medicate. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like, back in, like, 2015, 10 years ago, you could find weed, but you really couldn't find edibles. You know what I mean? Like, you could find them, but it was, like, you know, very, very sparse. So I started making them, and my mentor, he really, like, pushed me into using his space to do the dinner party. So like, you might know about like Vice and Bon Appetit. So that was real popular 10 years ago, and introducing people on the West Coast to this whole infusion concept. And I had no idea what I was doing, right? So when we first did our first dinner party, I didn't, you know, it was kind of like, I did a little research, I just did it, but it was like an instant hit. People loved it. And
you got like a favorite meal? Like your like a favorite
infused meal?
Yeah, favorite infused meal.
Not really. Like I can really infuse anything. Like anything that you have regular, I can infuse it. But I will say that I specialize in soul food. Like that's really what people come to me for. So a lot of people, they love my infused oxtail, infused mac and cheese, peach cobbler.
Infused oxtail? I'll see you soon.
That's actually crazy. I ain't even gonna hold you. That's crazy.
Infused oxtail with the gravy?
For a few years, I took it off my menu, but for a few years, the banana pudding was going crazy. Infused banana pudding.
The banana pudding probably slapped.
Yeah. People,
you're like, is this good? Or am I high?
Yes. Or is like, it both? So.
Here are the samples. I want to taste everything.
Oh, right, my goodness. Yeah. So Goodfellas got to come to Brown Box. We got to do like
a little collab,
a podcast dinner.
Gangsta.
That would be nice.
I'm with that.
Yeah.
I'm with that. All right. I got a question. So,
it's a great idea.
Yeah.
We actually should do the live pod there.
With like starting out, like, how was it? Like finding the balance of the like THC to put in to like the infused,
okay,
to where it's like,
so
you don't overdo it,
but you make them nice.
Like,
okay,
you know what I mean?
So I'm in the process of like rebranding a little bit, because Brown Box has a very notorious has a very infamous reputation for, you know, smacking niggas upside the head.
Nigga said, sir, you gotta go. Sir, you gotta go.
And it would be so funny because the dinner parties, people would like go through the whole thing. It would be like 3 or 4 courses, and then like, yo, by the end of the dinner party, they out. Like they are, there was no lingering. Like people were so high, they're just like, I gotta get home, get somewhere. But That's funny. Finding that balance, it really just depends on the product that that you're making. With the food, it's a little tricky because you're still kind of like, you know, as little servings as we give, once you have like, you know, 4 or 5 courses, you're gonna be high. But when it comes to like the actual like my brownies and cookies and things like that, like once I figured out the recipe, I just did that every single time. Also having a consistent supplier is also important. I feel like when you're just like getting, you know, doing what you can, which is
weed
what,
from anybody.
Yeah, doing what you can, it's like inconsistent. So it took a lot of trial and error.
Like a lot of trial and error.
I've never really had any, like, thankfully, like any bad situations where, you know, it was kind of like people would just tell me, yeah, I did that, but I'm never doing it again. So that's like, you know,
that's why I can't do edibles.
You know,
edibles be having me cooked. Nah, that's what
I was gonna ask.
We never had anybody like passing out or like anything like that.
That was one of my next questions. Like,
yeah.
Is there a time where things went like left? Like,
I would say there's like. A couple years ago, we did a movie night, and you know, one girl, she got too high. She was like getting paranoid. We had to call the ambulance, things like that. But it was something that it was like a deeper root to it, so it really didn't go anywhere in that case. But I really try to keep it tight because. Yeah, like, you know, you don't want to play games. Don't want to play around with it. Now it's legal, so there's, like, this gray area when it comes to the food and stuff like that. But, you know, Brown Box, for the most part, like, we have a really good reputation, you know, for our product.
That's what's up. Because when I used to, well, this is years ago, before, like, we started having all the dispensaries and being able to, like, actually go buy edibles, you know, people would...
Make them.
Feel me? Venture out and making them. And then you never know what you was going to get. Feel me?
Exactly.
You never know if you was about to get smacked or if it wasn't going to smack you at all. Feel me? Or you was going to get a little pluck on the head. So I remember one time where someone was like, yo, I'm like, I'm making edibles or whatever. And I've at this point, I've just had a habit of coming across a bunch of people that is not really doing anything. People just taking a weed. They ain't even doing the butter or nothing.
Oh my God, they just dumping it in.
You know, people that really don't know what they doing and just think they do, feel me? So someone's like, yeah, I want you to try my edibles. So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to let you know. So this is at a time where I was always smoking. So I'm like, I'm going to wait till it's a time that I'm not high so that I can actually know what choice is going to do. And I happen to be at work and I'm about to get off. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take it like 30 minutes before I clock out. At least I'll start to feel it. When I tell you, it smacked me so hard that I was so paranoid and I'm like bugging.
How long did it take, you think?
I want to say it took like right at that 30-minute mark because right when I'm clocking out, I'm in my car now. And I usually always kept a clip in my car. This is my little clip that I'm smoking on the way home. So now I'm fried to the gods. This is right before I'm about to clock out. I'm like... And you start getting to that point of, oh, they know I'm high. They looking at me. They can see I'm fried. Like, so I get to the car, and I'm so paranoid of about to drive home. Weed not legal at this point, so I don't want to get caught or whatever. So I take this spliff, and I put it in my sock.
Oh my God.
I'm like, I don't want them to find this. So I'm driving, and I'm just thinking every car behind me is the cops. And all I kept saying to myself is, I want my bag. Like, I just want to go home. I want my bag. I get home. I take off everything,
down to the teeth.
Nigga just walk around the crib, nigga.
Yo, I'm ass naked in my bed. I'm like, yo, this shit is bugging. Like, feel me? I wake up the next day, and the way I snatched off my sock, the whole spliff is crumpled.
You still had the socks on?
No, I'm saying from when I took off my sock. So when I woke up, I'm like looking at this shit like, yo, what the hell? So the next day, I go back to the person. I'm like, yeah, nah.
you need to
figure out a good point because that right there ain't safe. But yeah, like, I just know when you, like, starting out. Well, I'm saying, like, for you when it was,
she
like, starting out.
Hey, yo.
Yo, probably, yo. Cause
nah, I definitely, yo. I feel you. I feel you 100%. And I think it's, I think the cool like thing right now is like, when you, oh my God. when you go to the dispensaries right now, they have, like, New Jersey has it controlled. And pretty much when you go to Cali, too, mm-hmm. you're not going to see it. Like, the edibles over 10 milligrams, right? So it'll be, like, 10 gummies, and the whole container is like 100 milligrams.
Oh, okay.
So, like, they determine that 10 milligrams is, like, a good beginner dose. Man. You know what I mean?
Well, I had a...
Up it.
I had a 1,000-milligram brownie when I was in Cali one time.
Remember?
And it said 20 servings. Like, it was, like, yeah, for 20 people exactly. serving. My dumb ass ate that whole brownie. When I tell you...
I beg your pardon.
Did you feel the same way you felt when you had the brownie from work?
I beg your pardon.
That's where I felt. I felt exactly the same. But at this point, like, I'm kind of like getting used to it. I was there, like, I'm understanding edibles more. So when I'm like going to the airport, as I'm getting dropped off, they're like, "Yo, you good?" I'm like, "I don't know. Like, I'm just fried. Like, I just want to sit down." Like,
so when when you had that first edible, it didn't make you like not want to have another one.
I'm gonna be honest with you, like. I've had edibles where I'm like, yeah, never again. But then it's always a again. So yeah, it's like I feel like we always say after we're done, never again. Then right. That one person come, hey, you want an edible? And you're like, yeah, okay. And then you take it again, and you're like, never again. But yeah, nah, I don't know. Like
that edible shit is no joke.
Yeah, for me, I could sit here and tell you personally, no joke, like yeah. with real legit edibles.
But you know, probably, like everybody got to find like their dosage.
It's yeah. probably like 0-20 for me.
Bro, remember them chocolates you had?
Oh, yeah.
Those were some good edibles.
See, like, I don't like being high, but, like, in general, I be in my head too much, so I don't smoke and shit no more. But I actually do want to kind of get back into it, though. I don't think I can get back into smoking, but if I find my dosage,
like,
I can.
Yeah, there you go.
We're
going to
be at
like...
James' house. All of a sudden, he's going to have the blunt in his hand again.
Yeah. You have to find your dosage, and I'm a big, like, everything's not for everybody.
Right, yeah.
So after a while, if it's like, you know, like you're saying, like, you know, you try different dosages, things like that, and it's just, you know, it's just not working out. It's just not working out.
I think our problem.
Sorry, y'all, because she just reminded me she had a panic attack on the plane. Off an edible.
Oh, no, that's the worst place to have a panic attack.
In a flying tube.
I know the turbulence probably had you tripping.
Oh,
she told me that story.
I threw up she on JetBlue. I had a gummy, and what? I thought I was grown. Like, and these are gummies that I do all the time. So I don't know if it's the food that I ate, like, on the airport mm-hmm. or whatever. But I was like, you know what? I could take 2 gummies.
That yo, and I think that's See? Our
that's,
problem.
That's See? Our right. problem I thought I could go up,
is that
right?
when we take the small dosage, we like convince ourselves that ain't doing it. Then you take
and it's
more.
Doing it.
Yeah, it's exactly, really doing right. it, but you take more, and now you overdid it. Like,
yeah,
homie,
you can't treat it like you know. You can't treat it like
that's what cooked me. I remember I had like a little like a edible cookie type shit. They told me like, yeah, only eat like mm-hmm. a side of it. Nope.
Why you gonna give me the whole? Cookie? Give me the whole cookie and then
That'd
ask
be the
me
problem.
To eat
That's
half.
The problem, with edibles, because it's good. So you're like, I'm gonna have some more. Like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
And then the worst happens.
Vomit on the yeah.
Bro, I was in my crib listening to Good Kid, M.A.A.D City like this.
Like a Dare commercial.
Just staring at
you
the
Shireen. Shireen. Nah, yeah. with edibles, I just be like, you know, when we smoke, we gradually build our high. Like, feel me, you're getting there, but like the
Especially
edible is just gonna
there.
Drop. Like,
yeah,
feel me? So,
and you know, when you smoking, it's like going through your respiratory system. Whereas when you're doing edibles, you're like metabolizing it. So that's why it also may hit faster for one person versus another person. Mm. And yeah, but I think, you know, my job is like really fun. Yeah.
That's tough.
You know, it's something I really feel like I found my purpose in cannabis, and also being in this transition of, man. You know, being on this learning curve, you can reach so many people. Like, and Facts. Because, you know, marijuana is very complicated. So as we saw, like, you know, we were smoking 15 years ago, you went to a weed man, you was getting like sour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like that was it. Like nobody was asking like indica, sativa, hybrid.
Yeah, all this other nut shit.
You know, am I gonna have the energy?
Like,
yeah, like you know, so lemonade runs. Like shut the fuck up.
He said lemonade runs.
You know, but to see the culture change, like I think that's really dope.
Morocco, yeah, bust your head.
Niggas is having Rosa Park runs and
shit. Like, go ahead, bro. What a piff at. But what a dro at.
What a haze.
What a haze at.
What would you say is like your hardest meal or baking, like bakery, like, well, baking goods to make?
Pastry.
The hardest to make? I mean, right now.
It gotta be the oxtail.
That'd probably just take the longest.
Because I'm trying to figure out how you infuse oxtail. So it got to be in the butter.
In the gravy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is like, so THC like binds to fat. So like you can make any kind of oil. So like I could infuse vegetable oil, butter, olive oil, whatever.
Nigga said, oh, you, yeah.
You be hot. You ever mix up? Like you in the crib?
The funny thing is I'm a lightweight. So like it's easy to do this because like I'm not like getting high on my own supply like all the time. So, okay. Like, edibles are really... Now, smoking, that's a different story. But, like, edibles, I'm pretty good at, like, you know, yeah. Like, selling them. And, like, you know, I don't have to, like, dilly-dally.
Imagine, like, you in the house, like, you cooking and you grabbed the wrong olive oil.
I was just about to say that, like, you ran out of olive oil.
I mean, like, I make it as I need it. So, like, if I'm infusing meals, like, I'm not just, like, making these oils and just having them, like, on the stash.
I thought you was just in the crib.
Making family dinner now, Meemaw on skates.
Meemaw sliding across. Like, that's the thing. I feel like it's a novelty. It's like, you know, and also for, you know, it's medicinal. Mm-hmm. So some people might need it that way. But as far as hard, I think I'm still like getting my skills up with like certain things in general. So right now I'm really in the pastry world, like, you know, learning how to, I really want to do like cakes and things like that, soufflés. But with cannabis in it. So I would say that is probably like my trick, my white whale right now is kind of like the more elaborate pastry meals. As far as food, I really haven't met my match yet.
Talk that fly shit.
You know, I really haven't, you know, I kind of, and that's also like, you know, I'm not branching out into all these different like cuisines and things like that. I think that like, whether the food is infused or not, like I'm an excellent soul food chef. Like, you come to my house, like, you know, we get busy. The weed is just like the fun part, but I'm like, I really cook, you know what I mean? So,
she is Chef Ma.
I haven't, you know, figured that out, but baking, I could be better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you tried like drinks yet?
I haven't tried drinks yet just because oil. Like, some people try to do the butter. And I don't know if you ever...
But you can do, like, a weed tea. You can do, like, a weed uptown.
Yeah, so I'm exploring that more, like, on the CBD side. So we also serve, like, the cafe part of our upstairs is we serve CBD tea. So you can get CBD tea while you're working and do all of that.
Ladies and gentlemen.
So now you can make it into an uptown. Just add a little lemonade to it.
Yeah.
Just stuck on that uptown.
You know.
He want to try it.
What?
Oh, it was Fused. Yeah, they're not there anymore. Yeah, they're not there anymore, unfortunately. That's a little story.
Fortunately
but...
for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wide open. Take over the market.
We only here for the brown box.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all are crazy.
But yeah. yeah. But we're in Orange. You can find us in Orange.
What, and from the dinner parties, infused dinner parties to the store... to the storefront, what created that jump to, all right, we're just going to go all the way with it?
Because
at one point, you had to be like, let's up it. Like, we got to take it.
Yeah, I think, okay, so first of all, I was, like, growing out of, like, just this home, like, the home situation that I was, you know, Brown Box was becoming more popular. Yeah. And what I saw with CBD was, I know that there's all this misconception about CBD, and really it's just another cannabinoid. you know, it's non-psychoactive, but it does so much else for our body. Mm-hmm. Right. And so
yo,
when
weed
I saw
is crazy because she just said three words that I ain't even
so cannabis, like, okay, so like if you go to a dispensary right now,
what is
hold on, like, cannabinoid this sounded what? Like a Pokemon. Like, what?
I choose you.
Cannabinoids. Okay, so cannabinoids are the chemical compounds found within marijuana and hemp plants. So what science has discovered, basically, like when you run a lab report on like weed, runts, right? Runts, for example, you run a lab report on it, you'll see it has X amount of THC and then all these other.
It'll be like water.
It'll be like CBD, CBN, CBG, like all these other THCA, THCV. BMF. So it's like all these chemical compounds.
YSL. And
SWB.
So they learned how to isolate CBD and also found the benefits of it. So when it became legal in 2019, I thought this would be a good opportunity because I also realized you treat it the same way. So when I introduced CBD through Brown Box, flower, edibles, like all the same as THC, right? And I thought it would give me an opportunity, like if I wanted to go down that dispensary route, I could like get my feet wet just in like cannabis retail and start like really understanding my customers and how that was gonna look. So, and there was like,
this.
It was like the only like cannabis thing that I could do legally. At the, like, even now, like, I can't go and open up, like, a weed restaurant.
Yeah, right.
Okay? So I've had to find all these creative ways to stay within my purpose, but keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
And also create another income. So, like, the edibles and catering became one thing, and now trapping, like, the CBD and everything else, the storefront, that was its own income. So I'm also trying to, like, build my different incomes within the same industry.
Yeah, also like the Brown Box and Brown Box Kitchen thing.
Exactly, exactly. So like Brown Box, the catering, it was Brown Box at first, but when I decided to move into the brick and mortar, I changed the food to Brown Box Kitchen. And so now it's like this brand where we operate all these other little brands like the events, the catering, all under one. So
why Brown Box though?
So it started out as like a food thing and, you know, I was making like empanadas and all these cute little vending type.
Yeah.
I was like vending at Vibes After Dark and doing all these different, you know, like festivals and stuff like that. And, you know, everything was like cute finger food that you could put in a brown box, you know, those little like brown boxes you get at like Whole Foods. Mm. You know, it was just like something real simple, but now it's evolved. I've been able to keep the name because it's so like, they're like Brown Box.
It's marketable.
Like, you know. Yeah.
It's simple, but it's like a great name. Like it just
And when it comes down to it now, it's just kind of
like a package. Because now it's
it's like everything inside the box. Now we're bringing it out the box and really evolving.
What's in the box?
So
edibles,
like the
food.
The logo.
Weed.
That's
it's like an open box
with a
with
weed
the
plant.
Weed
that's
in
fire.
It.
I'm looking at this. I'm like,
yeah. I mean,
now,
it's like, and it's like
it
everything.
The,
yeah, we're just like everything. You know, everything nice for the most part comes in a box first. You know, like if you think about that,
yeah.
Like you unboxing all your stuff, all your Nikes and you know, Van Cleef,
everything in the box.
When it comes from UPS, it's in that brown box first.
And
then you open it like,
from
oh my
a
god!
Brown box.
Yeah, we
you know, but
we all came from a brown box. All
right,
this guy's
crazy. Yeah, and that too. Like you know, there's also like
don't let them know, like
a woman. Brown box, black girl, you know.
Brown box, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
So,
Woman's Month.
Yes.
Give it up for all the brown boxes
y'all.
Out there.
Yeah, you, I appreciate y'all having me here.
Yeah, ending it with you.
Yes.
We're ending the month with you. Because it's the last Sunday, right?
Yeah.
There's one more Sunday.
There's one more Sunday.
There's one more Sunday.
Oh, the 31st does end on there.
Uh-huh. That is Sunday.
Good job.
Easter, yes.
I don't know when Easter is.
For sure, don't know when Easter is.
Yeah. Oh, you...
So this is episode 182. Wow, y'all deep. Y'all committed.
More like 400, but we ain't gonna talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's okay. Look, you gotta restart as many times as you need to get it right.
Exactly.
Until you find a niche.
Yes, so exactly.
Taking it back to basics, because I like to cook. James likes to cook. He'd be cooking at 2 in the morning, making steaks and stuff.
Oh, really? Like to cook?
Yeah.
Yes.
How many of y'all cooking here? You cook? Y'all cook?
Show of hands.
I'm lazy, but I can't cook.
He got knees. He could cook. He got no choice.
KK ain't fucking cooking. All I seen B-Lo do was grill. I ain't never see.
He make mango.
He look like he make money.
I love that for you. That for me. Thank you. But nah, yeah, he's one of the ones that like.
He look like you make money. Let me get a dollar.
That's what I'm saying. You look a little busy. Like, you got in the kitchen whipping up the pancakes early in the morning.
I need to get into the stocking cap money.
Cigarette in his mouth. With the slides.
Hustle it.
But
white beater.
Yeah, nah, I would say out of all of us, these two, him and 1UP, are like heavy on cooking. So go ahead, 1UP.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what got you into cooking? Like, was that something that you grew up doing? Or
yeah, it was something that I grew up doing.
What's your background?
My background, like...
What's your nationality?
I'm black.
Cotton picking black?
Thank you. I'm black. I even did one of those ancestry DNA things, but...
What's say you said black?
Mostly.
Congrats! Mostly it was like you African. Are a nigga!
There was black.
You black as hell.
Some Norwegian and Portuguese.
I beg your pardon.
I think the master crept into one of the cabins.
I mean, that's for sure. Hey,
I think that's why. The little milk in the coffee. Yeah.
Oh shit, y'all crazy.
But yeah,
y'all doing this in 4K?
Yeah, but I grew up in an African American home. But I grew up in a very busy home. So like my grandmother, and my mom nurses, you know. So cooking was something that I learned through like aunties and also like in the church. Like Sunday dinners, things like that, and just kind of like being up on, it was just something that was interesting to me and like came naturally early. But nobody told me to cook. Like I went through a whole like
shit. I was forced.
When you in the house by yourself at 12 years old,
like feed myself. But it wasn't something that was like, oh, I should do this as a job. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I went through that whole loop of, like, going to college, not feeling, you know, feeling like it wasn't for me, you know, like, all of that. And then it just came down to, like, okay. And I used to get a lot of compliments. So, like,
you should open up my roommates.
Yeah, we're just, like, you know, I got a lot of compliments on my food, stuff like that. So I just was like, fuck it. I'm going to start selling food. You know how like all the Instagram girls are doing it now? That was me, like, yeah, like 15 years ago, like
$15 plates.
Yeah, like, you know, and vending, and like I'm just gonna start it, and I just never stopped. It was like one of those days people kept calling me, and then next thing you know, you look back and it's like 15 years later and you're still
nah,
because
like from your name, I thought like I'm like Maz. I'm like, this whole time I thought you was like Ethiopian or something.
Yeah, my dad's side of the family. Yeah, so my godmother is Ethiopian. Oh, yeah. And so I'm named after her.
Yeah, so I'm
and
like, yeah,
my
like
dad's side of the family is of Nigerian descent, but I grew up like on my mom's side, like African American. So
playing spades.
Yeah. I just learned how to play spades. I'm like still a beginner. But
we won't judge you here.
You know, yeah. I grew up like James in Wright. The suburbs and like up Piscataway.
KP for sure.
Yeah, KP for sure. Even though he Trinidadian, but, they play spades over there.
Yeah, but it was something. Yes, it was something I had to learn how to do. I had to learn how to play spades for my people. So.
Hey yo.
All right. So, what do you feel like was your toughest part of your journey so far?
Right now?
Now.
At the height of it all?
I think that is funny. Like
keeping it going?
keeping it going has been the hardest part. So when I moved into the space that I have now,
that actually fucked me up, because the space that you in now, I used to go to events there, and I guess like it was a wall in the middle.
Yes. So and like, it's funny.
And
like,
it fucked me up because I'm upstairs. I'm like, this is not how it is.
I knew the guy who had that space before. Like,
it was like an art studio or some shit like that.
It was an atelier. So he had like a men's, he was doing like custom men's clothing. Yeah. And when he got that space around the time that I started Brown Box. And I actually did my second dinner party in that space before it was even a thing of me having it.
Oh, that's full circle.
But my landlord, yeah, I was like two blocks over. We had like a small spot on Freeman, both off Scotland Road. I was still in the valley, but we did really well in the pandemic, and this space became available. So my landlord offered it to me before it went on the market.
Your landlord owned
both. Yeah, my landlord owned both, and I didn't even know. Like, I thought that the guy who had it before, I thought he owned that spot. And then my landlord was like, oh, we got this spot on Nassau. Let's be coming available soon. And I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to take it, because I felt like I could just wrap everything
in one house.
In one.
And it's right. And I feel like the location and like how it is just like perfect for Brown Box. Like, even like the vibe, the whole aesthetic when you walk inside, it just, I don't even smoke and I'm in this bitch like,
where the weed at?
Also, I feel like, you know, it is a woman-led business. So, like, you know, we try to put our touch on it. And, you know, when I was working with Wave, like, he was trying to bring it, like, to the masses. Yeah. So I'm more like a behind-the-scenes person. I'm trying to come more to the forefront now. Because everyone is like, who is Moz? Like, Brown Box. You know, even though we've touched so many lives, I still feel like there's like confusion
around.
They want
to put the face behind.
Yeah.
Who was Brown Box?
Yeah. Exactly. So, but this part has been the hardest part, because first of all, the rent is way more. Ouch. Things that I thought were going to happen, where, you know, we did it like it was almost like we grew like really fast. And when I got into this space, like, we ran out of money immediately trying to renovate it, trying to get it. You know, I've like kind of underestimated taking it on. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no partners, no investors. You know, like, I'm pretty much just doing it myself. Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, we sell weed. So it's not like, you know, terrible. But I thought we would be much farther. But it's like, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. So I've really, and, you know, like, just even packing the space out, like having events, people not coming, you know, just going through all of those different changes. So I think this has been the hardest part, and your mind like plays tricks on you. So it's just like staying focused.
Okay. Understandable.
Yeah. It was like easy up until this point, because I felt like I was doing something that was like, you know, we introduced something different. Mm-hmm. So I always had clientele. And then when weed became legal, everybody became an expert. Everybody started selling weed.
Yes.
Everybody started even like cooking.
Yes.
You know, just everyone is doing it. So, and people weren't as interested. It wasn't, you know, like, weed dinner parties wasn't as exciting as it was
before.
Right,
yeah. It used to be a very taboo thing.
Yeah.
Like a speakeasy almost.
Exactly. So this has been the hardest part, but definitely the most rewarding, for sure. Like, you know, being able to take care of the space and, like, you know, the lights are on. We're open 7 days a week. Like, every day that we get to be open is a blessing. So.
Yeah, because I'm, like, when I walked in, so I knew Olivia for mad long. So I walked in, I see Liv. I'm like, well, I've been seeing her, like, post and everything about it. Like, you know, that she there.
Stop beating the couch. All right.
So I'm like, oh, nah, this is gangsta. Because I guess, I mean, like, majority of staff is women.
Yeah. And Liv's been, I mean, I did have a business partner for a brief moment. But just, like, Liv's been with us since I started the CBD store 2019. Farrah, she's been with me since even before, like, when I was just doing the dinner parties, things like that. And it's the three of us. And then we have, like, my brother who also works there. And we do have a couple men who really contribute. Yeah, like my photographer, Rex, who also doubles as my event director. So, like, when you book events, like, you know, private, because we do a lot of, like, baby showers and birthday parties and things like that.
Well, yeah, I seen somebody.
Yeah, I mean, because for the most part, like I said, we don't be, like, blowing down in there all, you know, it's not like a hookah lounge type of environment. So people are still able to, you know, it doesn't always smell like weed and things. Like, we keep it real. Yeah. So people, they just love the space.
Keep it classy.
I don't smell like weed. Yeah. Don't. This shit smell good.
Yeah.
Smell like good weed.
I mean, if you're in there doing like a weed event, of course it's going to smell like weed. But like, you know, we also, you know, we got to keep it low because we still in Jersey, you know. I don't want no problems. Like, that's just my mood. It's like, I don't want any issues.
And keep that shit up, man. That, like, shit gangster for real, for real.
Yeah, no, I'm doing my... Like, it is my life's mission to bring that space to where it needs to be. You know what I mean? I love that space.
You ever, like, thought about cooking up, like, your own strand?
Yeah and no. Like, right now I'm really focused on just going all the way. So right now I'm trying to convince the city to, first of all, turn it into a dispensary. But the way New Jersey is doing consumption lounges, you have to have a dispensary license to open a consumption lounge. Oh. So I'm trying to submit a proposal for the whole thing. So, like, you can't just go open one. You have to have your dispensary license. Oh. And it just, Jersey makes things complicated, but I have the perfect space for both. Yeah. However, when weed became legal, Orange decided that they didn't want dispensaries. So I'm like, you know, so they're revisiting it this year. So for sure, we're probably going to become a dispensary. I'm not worried about that.
But if you're selling, like, the CBD products, wouldn't the spot be called, like, considered a dispensary?
No, they just banned, like, nobody could open up. Like, even when we opened up the CBD store in Orange, we, like, signed the lease, and then we went to zoning and, like, the building department, and we had, like, they were on some, like, we're not zoning a CBD store. Like, Orange is, like, wait, you know, they're a little behind. And so we're the only CBD store in Orange. They really don't have, like, many smoke shops, things, like, if you really notice. But we were able to convince them, and we've been there for five years now. But as far as the dispensary, the council was on some, you know, we want to see how all the other towns do. Yeah. Now they see Newark, East Orange, like, you see Newark, you see Rise, it's packed 7 days a week.
That's a fact.
But they see, like, you know, and they're just losing out on the money because it's all tax money, like, you know, and so now
like
they're willing to revisit
enough.
It.
Yeah, it's not gentrified enough.
It was, once, like, weed did become legal, there was a lot of towns, like, just against allowing dispensaries to be built in there because they just was trying their best to keep that kind of energy away. Like, I don't know what it is, but I feel like they got in their head, oh, we're about to have a bunch of people just walking around or high. We don't want that for image-wise. But it's like, at the end of the day, they're going to do it anyway. That's one. And it's not really that. And then not for nothing, when it comes down to money, it's profit. Like, automatic. Like, it's not a loss.
You gotta pay to play. So, the ones that have, like, the cities that have allowed it, they're making a lot of money by just accepting applications and, you know, doing that. And it's probably not gonna stop anytime soon. Like, I think we're over, like, 100 dispensaries right now.
Wow.
In the state of New Jersey. Or at least licensed. Being open is another thing, but actually having their, like, they've given over 100 businesses their licenses. I don't know what they thought, but that is what I'm fighting. I'm always fighting the good fight, but that's what I'm working on right now is, like, becoming fully legal. And I guess Orange First Dispensary, because it's closing in, like, West Orange, South Orange, everyone that borders Orange has legalized. So, but regardless of that, like just having a space, like a safe space, that was the most important thing to me. So whether, no matter what happened in Orange, it's like, this is still like the spot, you know, and it keeps me flexible right now. Mm-hmm. Because once I become a dispensary, a lot of the stuff that I'm doing now will have to change. Yeah.
Wow, that sucks.
You know, so like dispensaries, they can't even open product, like their own products in a dispensary.
Wow. Damn.
Like I've made money just by like dispensaries needing my space for like different creating content, whether it's creating content or launching a product or whatever. You know, they might be able to have like a little DJ, but it's very much like you go in, you come out, like it's, yeah, you know, yeah, like that's how they want to keep transaction. It.
Yeah.
It's very transactional.
That's an ill trade-off.
Yeah, that's actually nasty.
You know, but is that something that you're apprehensive about? Rules. What happened?
Is that something you're apprehensive about? Like kind of giving up what you have now in order to...
Well, what I'm apprehensive about is like convincing them to also allow me to have the consumption lounge. Because if I can open that up, then that's really the game changer.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You sitting there, you can buy your weed, you can smoke your weed.
Exactly.
Your
and only like 10 towns are allowing it. Like Newark, Jersey City, and there's maybe like 7 or 8 others. So it's still like a very small market, the consumption lounge market.
And you go upstairs and get you some munchies.
Exactly.
Learn how to cook.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm writing out in the meantime because, like I said, there's still so many. Like, we have, like, a bunch of events coming up, like Weed and Wine, where you basically it's, like, a big wine tasting with Bent Wine Co. They're this company out of Maryland. And so, basically, you could taste weed, taste wine. That's what we're doing for 420.
That's fire.
That's fire.
Mm-hmm. And we do like weed yoga. This is our second one. This is our second one. Yeah, the first one.
Lord have mercy.
They in there lusty.
Yeah, they was in there. And it's like, it's
weed
a good mixed crowd. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, all the aphrodisiacs. But they keep it cute.
Chocolate. You should do something like that at your spot, like a little speed dating, but like.
But weed. A little weed like, dating.
Nah, but I'm saying like with good eats still at the same time. Like
yeah,
everybody high, enjoying hand. Vibes, y'all like loosen you up for me to have like good that? Conversation. What
you mean by that?
I'm saying like I feel like more people get in, well not more, but some people get into a comfort zone once they're like high mm-hmm. or like just
a little tipsy.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. you feel more
feeling a little good.
Yeah, able to just speak more and just open up about things yeah. that you probably wouldn't say once you came on a speed date randomly, like, you know what I mean? So, yeah, I'm sorry.
That is a good point, because, like, speed
what's
dating, it could be,
weed?
Like, uptight. It could be
favorite
uptight.
Favorite weed is crazy.
My favorite weed?
No, I'm saying, like, that would be, like,
oh, by one
oh,
weed.
Oh, there like, we oh, asking?
Like, a question that, yeah. yeah.
Like, what's your favorite weed?
And look, and it's a good market, because, like, I feel like cannabis... People also sometimes, you know, you might meet someone and like maybe you smoke, they don't smoke. Like it'd be cool to meet like minded people in the same place. Yeah. You know, sometimes it's hard for cannabis people
weed
to
mixer.
Find their other people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, you know, it's not as common nowadays, but I still feel like it's a thing. There's still plenty of people who don't smoke, who are not interested in smoking. But then there's, like, this whole group of people, you know, like, single people who like to smoke and do their thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, the woman these days, they don't even need a nigga no more. Back in the day, oh, yeah. she was, they wanted to smoke with
oh,
you.
Oh, my God.
They was trying to get with
I
you.
I don't know how to
now,
roll.
Now, motherfuckers, like, you matching? Like, yeah. this for me. Like, this for
I
myself. So it's like.
Roll.
They buying their own, though.
Yeah, like, nah, nigga, I don't need none of that. Like,
yeah,
I
got
came
my own
with mine.
Back.
We're yours. Like,
yeah. That's actually a fact, though.
Speaking of, back to James' question, what is your favorite strain, if you have one? Do you prefer indica, sativa? Do you prefer smoking over it?
I'm definitely a indica person. Like, I need it to take me down. I don't need any motivation or energy to stay up. I feel like sativas and things, they kind of, like, crack me out. Like, or just, like, I'm just, like, ugh, like, it doesn't.
That shit giving her the ick.
Yeah, like, but I don't really have a favorite strain right now. Lately, it's
You just
been,
like to be high. You just love being high.
I love being high, but I do have a couple, like, I need it to taste great. I need it to not be dry.
Are you high right now?
Am I high right now?
Yes.
Not really.
You was?
But I was earlier. Of course, like I spoke this morning, yes, before I left the house, but not right now, no. I've been out for a little while, but, and I don't smoke as much. I don't think I smoke as much as people like assume. I still have to get like an extreme amount of work done. And, you know, I do smoke, but like I try to, you know, weed is also still expensive. Like,
yes, for sure.
The good weed.
It's a bill.
It's like buying gas. Know,
it's definitely a bill.
For sure.
The you know, weed. Like, you know, being the plug is cool, but, you know, you got to get that return. Yeah, on, yeah, you know, yeah. You got to get that return on your investment. So, yeah.
So what you about are y'all? The plug. So you are.
Got to make sure the pieces is hitting.
You know, so I'm putting it together. Like, you know, you can regular call me. Shit. You so know, you call me I can outlet. Put I yeah, can put a little, yeah. little something socket. Together for you. You know what I mean?
Except a little socket.
Yeah, I'm saying. I'm definitely, you know, like yeah, whatever you need, I definitely.
Okay,
know.
That's an extension cord.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, see, fuck that.
Multiple
from across the room.
See that shit.
Weed is my game, so what's you know, called? Weed is my game. I love it and
surge protector.
Yeah,
but me, I don't even know. I don't know the difference.
Oh, you said you don't smoke. You yeah. smoke? You smoke?
I used to,
but
used
I was bit. I used to be weed
also,
heavy.
Also, this is like day. A non. This is like a. Like
don't
group.
Don't no not really
no, like, no, they, no they were smokers he yeah. used to smoke heavy I used to smoke heavy one up used to smoke heavy
yeah
so what why
he was don't more like more? Crack
you said you being your head. You said you being your head why did you cut back I'm why sorry. You feel like you cut back
honestly
crack is crazy
I just do crack on my man nah Bongo is the sober soul if y'all haven't noticed
hell no
but nah it was more so for two reasons the first reason was I started when COVID had hit I was working almost like 14-15 hours a day so when it got to that I'm like this is when I was smoking I'm like it's making me tired so I'm like, I can't smoke as much because I'm already got to be up for, like, these shifts. So I wasn't, like, really being high. As I continuously kept working them shifts, I noticed that I wasn't smoking no more. And once the habit was broke, it was like, oh, shit. All right. For me, I'm already used to, like, not being high. So then it was that. Then after that, I was just looking into jobs. So it just wasn't no need. But, like, here and there, I'll, like, get back on it. Like, I ain't somebody that won't ever smoke again but like I just
or like if somebody passes it to you you know you'll hit it
yeah if I'm not like inquiring about a job
if
or
it's
some
not
shit
laced
like that.
Got you
yeah definitely nah I don't smoke over nobody I don't trust but yeah
okay
James why you stopped smoking
he said he was in his head.
Well, the real reason why I should have stopped.
You high now? Okay, Scooby-Doo.
Right. My freshman year in college, I got caught up in some dumb shit.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a lot of people reading.
Yeah, I got caught up
you
in
You weren't
some,
even high, though.
I was high at that point. I was high when it happened.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was high as hell when it happened.
That's crazy.
So basically, I went to D.C. I picked up some weed or whatever the case may be out of my dorm, but I was growing a weed plant.
Oh, my God.
And they burned down on this idiot.
So this is what happened.
Well, they like smelled
Let me tell you this story because this shit is so... Because I think one was right there with me.
I was like, what is happening right now?
That's
a regular
you?
Plant. What are you talking
so,
about?
So this is what happened. So I locked my key in my...
them to you. Nigga said, you led these niggas to you.
I like, cooked my whole self
hey,
up.
Don't mind that plant over there.
Nigga said,
so I locked my key in my dorm type shit. Lonnie calls public safety to come open the door. I'm like, bro, we might as well just stay here.
Lonnie did it.
Nah.
Yeah, that was his roommate.
So I'm like, bro, we might as well just wait here. He like, nah, we're going to go to my dorm. We're going to come back, and they should be there. So we walking back. I really think it was me, 1UP, and Lonnie, and somebody else. We look upstairs, public safety. They got like the flashlight on the plant type shit.
Bugging.
Cause it's in like the common area. It's in the suite. So they open my door. Cause at that point I had like the weed periodic table.
Oh my god.
This nigga.
You was
asking for it.
We got
that is my plan.
Nigga had dime bags all out. Nigga had the scale.
This is FDU.
Oh my god.
They like we got
I went to St. Elizabeth.
Okay, but I went to FDU and TNEC.
Oh, okay, got you.
So walk in there, I'm just like, this is what it is.
You ain't doing right. Game.
So like, from the periodic table, so they searching your room?
Who put this periodic table up in my room?
I'm like, this because I'm black. Y'all trying to plant this on me? Y'all even hung up with a periodic table? Like, who does that?
So how they find
I don't even know how to hang up a periodic table.
The plant was just in the corner.
I don't know how to grow weed.
Oh.
It was just in the corner.
Why would I grow weed?
So now in TNEC, they don't weigh it by just the plant. Everything's included, dirt included, all that shit.
No, fuck out of here.
Yeah, they threw the
dirt on you too.
I would have got clumsy as hell.
You was in Bergen County. That's like Bergen County is like the worst dumb place shit, to be man. For that.
Dumb shit. Dumb oh, yeah. shit. Dumb shit.
So what they gave you probation? What?
I ain't get shit.
Oh.
I have a probation on campus, but everything.
So that led to you just like I'm good.
I was just like.
Niggas, I need to switch like, my yeah, life around, man.
I'm not smoking. I'm like, I definitely smoked since then, but
man.
I haven't rolled my own blunt.
That was or mommy. Like bought it.
Yeah.
That was mommy dearest. That ain't got nothing to do with him. Ask the belt. you doing what? And the what?
So that was just that. But I do be like in my head too much when I'm high. I be thinking about shit I'm not supposed to think about, so that's why I stop.
That nigga said,
but sometimes you
got
to think about the things that you don't want to think about if you think about the things.
But not when I'm high. When I'm high, I think about them things too much. Like, yeah.
Nigga said, aliens?
Are they real?
Sirens?
Are we aliens?
Are we? Yo, are you an alien?
Were they in Miami?
Clones.
Getting the drip. Had to hit them off.
Had a great time.
Like I said, am I a clone? You start questioning your own existence.
Yeah. Miles, it was a pleasure having you, yo.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
For sure, for sure.
I hope y'all learned something new today.
Shit, I learned about cannabinoids.
Halliburton.
What's up with you?
I'm
where
high,
you
bro.
Been at? What pot was that? I ain't learned that.
I'm way thinking like, did I miss that part?
Halliburton, the basketball player. All right, never mind.
All right, son.
What they got?
It has nothing to do with that.
That nigga high. All
right. Well, if you want to follow us, you can follow us at Brown Box, BRWNBOX. There's no O in Brown. Or Brown Box Kitchen. You can find me or basically Chef Maz. That's
Chef Maz.
Personal Instagram.
Chef.
Yes. And
got
the
anything
store
upcoming?
Is, yes. We do weed yoga every Tuesday and Thursday.
Whoa,
so if you want to come.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
So you come smoke.
Down, bring
that's
it
probably
back.
A different kind of relaxation.
You say you do what?
Weed yoga.
Uh-huh. How do you have the capacity?
So, yeah. So
every
you,
Wednesday?
Every Tuesday and Thursday.
Hours?
6:45 to 8 p.m.
Okay.
Yep.
Like,
and
do
then,
you like light one of those like weed diffusers and or like people smoke before they do yoga?
No, they get a pre-roll when you come into class.
Gangsta.
You get a pre-roll when you come into class.
How you hitting a spliff and downward dog? Like, how does that?
I mean, for the most part, the girls will smoke and then do yoga. It's rarely at the same time because that's kind of hard. But
I'm an idiot.
And then 4:20 we have weed and wine. And we're working on like a Mother's Day floral arrangement class.
Can you do like a wee karaoke night?
Yeah.
That would be dope.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
We've been talking about karaoke for a while, actually. We've been trying to like figure out the logistics, but I think that will definitely be a summer vibe.
If you need help with sound and music, let me know.
I will definitely let you know for sure.
The Pam and Brown Box.
Yeah, we gotta have the good fellas. The good fellas have to come to.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Goodfellas have to come to Brown Box. We got to do something.
We're thinking about the live pod.
We're going to talk.
I got an idea for
this. We just did that right now on the pod. Oh.
Yeah, we said it's a good idea.
So why you just laugh at that? Like, you ain't know nothing about it. But nah, that's dope. Yeah, I look forward to that.
Yes, for sure.
But yeah, if you do have like a karaoke night, let me know. I'm always down for a good karaoke.
Yeah, this
karaoke.
Is Mr. Sing-Along right here.
Yes, I gotta follow y'all.
My name is Bob.
My name is Yif.
My name's Yif.
Well, y'all, this is episode 182. Big Chef Maz. It was a pleasure.
Big shouts to having.
Thank you.
Having
thank
the time
you
to spend with us, you know what I'm saying? We really appreciate it. You could have been anywhere on this.
Play Mary
day.
Jane on the way out.
I would have been right at
Mary Jane.
Right at Brown Box.
Like Rick James?
Yeah.
Are we being serious?
Yes. It's only right.
I don't want to play Mary.
Spend.
Just end it, bro.
The track.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because you could have you would have been in the shop.
Who won't smoke me? DJ, what up? Smoke me. I'm tryna fuck a nigga lungs up. They be like,